Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Welcome back to the fabulous Anke Herrmann. Well, she wasn't going to contribute to any more multi-author books, but when a group of friends led by the amazing Carolyn Street decided to publish a whole series of books tackling a range of human emotions and the different ways people deal with them, she took notice. It's fantastic. There is anxiety in us, sadness in us, anger in us, and the recently published Authenticity in Us, in which Anke then contributes a chapter on authenticity online, which is just what we're going to be talking about today. Welcome, Anke. Shall we start with you giving a short intro to who you are, what you do, and why you do it before we move on?
Well, thanks so much for having me again. It's a delight to be here again. Yeah, so I'm Anke Herrmann, German. Yeah, rhymes, that's funny, isn't it? But I'm based in the south of Spain, and I've taken my wild ride of different careers, starting from language, teaching, translating, software development, my own business as a dressmaker, and now I've basically brought all of that together to support mostly coaches, therapists, authors, people who have a real passion for their message and want to build an online business to reach and impact more people, but go like, oh, where does the button go? I don't know. Like, find the tech overwhelming. So now I want to make sure that the tech won't ever be the hurdle that stops them from getting their message out and, you know, building the business that they really want to build. And it's always got three parts. I always say it's what looks like a tech problem never is. So it's never just the tech. There's always, I always say, like, when you build a business, you need three things. You need to know what to do. That's your strategy. You need to do how to do it. You know, that's your skills, your tools, and you need to actually do it, which means you need to get out of your own way to actually take the action. And so I think my kind of what always felt as a weird background actually helps me to support people on all three fronts, which means you actually really get stuff done. So that's what I do now. So,
and she certainly does. And for those of you, actually, Anke was my very first episode when we talked about changing course, because indeed she's had a fascinating life and is a very can-do lady. But also, and more importantly for me right now, she is amazing in all things technical. So actually, Anke is the midwife, let's say, of this podcast. She set it all up and miraculously even managed to teach me how to do all the editing, etc. And for those of you who know me well, know that the technical side of things is certainly not my forte. So yes, indeed, the tech lady. But so if we go back to today, I mean, when I saw the title, I thought, what a fantastic idea, first of all, this series of books. And I can understand that you definitely that it's something that triggered you. And since, you know, your business is helping us with our online businesses and how we show up, etc., authenticity online seemed like a perfect topic for you. So tell me more about the book.
Well, yeah. So it's I also wrote a chapter on fear and us. You know, that's actually a good one too, because I was this really fearful kid until I had a few insights to realize that, you know, all that stuff. And it's actually called Whose Fear Is It Anyway? So you know, I've known these people for. Yeah, and so definitely I would definitely recommend people to check them out. And so the authenticity online, it was really interesting because I was invited to write about it. I wasn't even thinking about it. It's like, oh, authenticity feels a bit like, oh boy, you know, that the word's been so overused. Right? It feels so like, but then when we had a conversation and Carolyn said, you know, she was coming more from this angle of when people use avatars and hide behind that mask, and so I thought, well, that's really interesting, right? And then all of a sudden she had me interested, and the more I thought about the topic, I thought, well, actually this is going to be really helpful, because I think a lot of people, and I've seen this with my clients, has often that idea of, oh yeah, well, you know, I was fine doing stuff offline, but online everything's weird. Yeah. Right? And everything's different. So what I'm really diving in is that, you know what, it's actually not that different.
Yeah.
Right. And it's almost like, where do you draw the line? What is authentic?
Yeah.
What does it even mean? Right. Be yourself, express yourself fully. Well, you know, if you want to be strict, like it doesn't mean unaltered.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And because we have all sorts of facets. I mean, we are all sorts of faces of us too, as well. I mean,
yeah.
It's funny because it triggered all sorts of thoughts when I read the topic. You know, first there was also, you know, the difference between oral and written online. So first of all, that oral, that lots of people find it just very hard to talk to a screen instead of talking to a person, and written, that they fear the fact that then everything is written down. You know, people can quote them on it. You know, the big problem also now with, you know, words taken out of context in Twitters or whatsoever. I mean, we see that rock the world of politicians or whatsoever regularly. But I was also thinking, it was also making me think just of this weekend when I was in Zeeland. And usually, of course, I choose the pictures that I post online, you know, in my Facebook posts or whatsoever. And there's some atrocious photos of me, you know, with zero makeup. I just got into 6.4 degree water, so it was really freezing. So, I mean, I really look my age and all that, but they're fun. And I was very proud that I did every day still go into that freezing cold water. So I did post them. And I was thinking, hey, you know, a few years ago, I wouldn't have been, what I was thinking to myself, as authentic. That is also me, not just all, you know, glamified and, you know, with makeup on and nice clothes and earrings and all of that, but also the, you know, raw. That's also authenticity, isn't it?
Because I mean, it is. But I think at the same time, it's, you know, we always choose how much of us we present to others.
Yeah.
That hasn't got anything to do with offline. I remember Brené Brown said something once where it was about this whole context of vulnerability. And there was something where it says, like, people have to earn the right to hear our stories. Right. And at any moment from a day to day in real life, when your neighbor asks you, so how are you? And you go, I'm just fine.
Yeah.
You choose how much, like, is that now authentic or isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So it's this, I don't think there's anything wrong with depending on how much trust we have or how we feel in the moment even.
Yes. That's what I was thinking.
We choose,
yeah,
you know, how much we let other people see of what's going on inside. And I really think that has nothing to do with online or offline.
Right.
Because lipstick, you know, I mean, that's also the other thing, the unaltered thing. You know, it's like, oh my God, on the screen, everything's so fake. You know, you wouldn't think of a theater performance. You know, I've dressed dancers, right? You know, so I've seen a lot of theater from the back door. And, you know, and I would, I always remember when I would go and, you know, backstage to, you know, if there's whatever, something on the dress. And I'd walk in the room and I'd go, I don't know anybody here, right? Because all these girls that I knew in the you know, in their rehearsal and in their normal, all of a sudden had makeup on, they look, you know, like from close up, it almost looked scary, you know, these huge black eyes, red lips,
red mouth,
and, you know, like totally, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
They just adapt to the medium because they know there is the stage lights and the audience is further away. So, and you know, in theater, there's big gestures and they run around like crazy. So, well, would you now say that's inauthentic? You probably wouldn't, right? So online, we just adapt to what the tools we have available. It's actually the same thing.
And as you say, I mean, in real life too, you know, I mean, some days we'll be with no makeup on and a tracksuit, and other days we feel good when we've got lipstick on and something nice on and we like
Absolutely.
To alternate, but they're all, they're all authentic. They're just all
exactly.
different facets of ourselves, depending on the mood or the day or the event.
And the trust level we have with the other, with whoever we deal with. So I actually think, well, if you look at it through that lens, it makes perfect sense that we might be a little bit more guarded online where it's public for everybody to see. And on top of it, permanent, if, you know, I mean, if anybody would dig through the wealth of information to dig out what you said 3 years ago. But so it would kind of make sense to be a little bit more guarded.
But then you don't make the connection, do you?
Well,
sometimes I see some businesses online where, you know, it's all great and it's all beautiful and it's highly professional and beautiful pictures, but I don't get a feel for who the person is. You know, if I'm going to trust my business of whatever form to somebody, I do want to know who they are. I want to get a feel for them. And now everybody goes about it in a different way. I remember editing something for a lady who was redoing her website. And, you know, she'd been given different examples. And one of the examples was, you know, a very bubbly lady who literally had on site, you know, basically what she was having for breakfast every day, you know, walked with her dog and her favorite music and all that. Okay, that was her. And it really worked because it was in line with her personality. That is how she is, and that's how she works as well. So if you're looking for that sort of person, then she's the right one. Whereas this other lady is a lot more guarded, and you know, she likes the serious professional view. So it was the way of finding a way to keep that authenticity, but to still share a little bit of the person behind the brand so that people, you know, could then connect. Do you agree with
that? I love that you say that, because there's actually a whole section in my book chapter on exactly that.
Right.
Because as people, you know, the internet's not that new anymore. Right. And I remember when the first websites were built, there was, again, it was still about trust, but the idea was you had to be perceived as a big professional company in order to be trusted and taken seriously. Right. Now, you know, people have smartened up and people are more comfortable, and we've, you know, everybody's been using it for 25 years, whether you want it or not. So people's BS meter are really, really fine-tuned these days. And that idea of making you sound big when you're not, well, that's a lie. That's not inauthentic. That's a lie.
Yeah, you know, I would hate it. I would feel false pretenses. I would feel awful.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's the thing. Like, if you kind of, you know, and you still sometimes see it on, especially on LinkedIn, when somebody hasn't updated their profile in a long time, it's like, we do this, and like, I know exactly it's you, and you work out of your mom's basement, right? So don't make this sound like this big international company with a big team when we all know it's just you, right? Yeah.
So but you should be proud of it just being you.
Well, right? That's the thing. And people will these days expect exactly what you just said. People want to know who's behind all of that, right? And big and small is no longer the thing. It's like, can I relate to you? Do I want, because I think it's also, we have a lot of options now to, you know, hire people online. And you have the whole world open. So there's always a whole bunch of people who could help you with a specific thing. And you go and decide, who do I want you to solve that problem for me, or do I want you? You know, and you'll always feel the person, you choose the person that you relate to more, that you feel most comfortable with, that gives you the most sense, well, I like you, and I think you can help me do what I want to do.
Yeah, it's based on values, on trust, exactly. On credibility as well. Obviously, you want to know what you've done so far or whatsoever. But it's more, I always do believe, I think, isn't it Simon Sinek who says that in his Golden Circle, that people don't buy a product, they buy what you believe in. And that if that resonates with their values, etc., that's where they will be happy. Everybody has different values.
It depends on who, and sometimes some people go, well, I don't care why you do what you do, I just want you to solve my problem. Right. Other people, you know, I mean, I've had people, especially I still have this website for these sewing patterns and stuff, and sometimes you get people and they write to you and go, oh, you know, that story, you know, it's like when you want people to connect to you, you need to give them something to connect to, right? So I always found sometimes people like, oh, we used to go to whatever, to Andalusia when I was a child.
Right.
So when I read you, it's like, oh, you know, it's the emotion it evokes in them, because they connect whatever they read there to their own life, you know. And somebody says, oh, I used to do, I don't know, like I used to teach English, and you know, like everybody.
Yeah. They make so a connection with their own lives.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so the only thing that won't work is if you don't give them anything. You don't have to.
Indeed.
That's also the other thing where people often shy away from, oh my God, on the internet and everybody, you know, it's you can share, like, personal and private isn't the same thing. Like you can share a lot of really deep personal stories without really giving anything private away. So there is that distinction too. So it's not that, oh my God, the evil internet. You know, it's a knife. You know, you can kill somebody with it, or you can cut a loaf of bread for somebody, right?
But that's so true. And I mean, when we think that our audience is, of course, of 50 plus, because when I see what the younger, you know, sometimes I'm a bit like, for goodness sake, I'm pretty sure you're going to, regret this later. Or just this sort of seem to be like an obsession with oneself, you know, with what one looks like and one's nails and one's hair and one's eyes and what one thinks about everything. And, you know, I think that the 50 plus in me is a little bit more like, well, you know, do I really want to know all of that? And isn't that very egocentric and maybe arrogant?
Well, thanks so much for having me again. It's a delight to be here again. Yeah, so I'm Anke Hermann, German. Yeah, rhymes, that's funny. Yeah, but I'm based in the south of Spain, and I've taken my wild ride of different careers, starting from language, teaching, translating, software development, my own business as a dressmaker, and now I've basically brought all of that together to support mostly coaches, therapists, authors, people who have a real passion for their message and want to build an online business to reach and impact more people, but go like, oh, where does the button go? I don't know. Like, find the tech overwhelming. So now I want to make sure that the tech won't ever be the hurdle that stops them from getting their message out and, you know, building the business that they really want to build. And it's always got three parts. I always say it's what looks like a tech problem never is. So it's never just the tech. There's always, I always say, like, when you build a business, you need three things. You need to know what to do. That's your strategy. You need to do how to do it. You know, that's your skills, your tools, and you need to actually do it, which means you need to get out of your own way to actually take the action. And so I think my kind of what always felt as a weird background actually helps me to support people on all three fronts, which means you actually really get stuff done. So that's what I do now. So.
And she certainly does. And for those of you, actually, Anke was my very first episode when we talked about changing course, because indeed she's had a fascinating life and is a very can-do lady. But also, and more importantly for me right now, she is amazing in all things technical. So actually, Anke is the midwife, let's say, of this podcast. She set it all up and miraculously even managed to teach me how to do all the editing, etc. And for those of you who know me well, know that the technical side of things is certainly not my forte. So yes, indeed, the tech lady. But so if we go back to today, I mean, when I saw the title, I thought, what a fantastic idea, first of all, this year. And I can understand that you know, definitely that it's something that triggered you. And since, you know, your business is helping us with our online businesses and how, you know, how we show up, etc., Authenticity Online seemed like a perfect topic for you. So tell me more about the book.
Well, yeah. So it's actually, I also wrote a chapter on fear and us. You know, that's actually a good one too, because I was this really fearful kid until I had a few insights to realize that, you know, all that stuff. And it's actually called Whose Fear Is It Anyway? So you know,
fantastic.
I've known these people for, yeah. And they're, so definitely, I would definitely recommend people to check them out. And so the Authenticity Online, it was really interesting. I was invited to write about it. I wasn't even thinking about it. It's like, oh, authenticity feels a bit like, oh boy, you know, that the word's been so, right? It feels so like, but then when we had a conversation and Carolyn said, you know, she was coming more from this angle of, you know, when people use avatars and hide behind, and so I thought, well, that's really interesting, right? And then all of a sudden she had me interested. And the more I thought about the topic, I thought, well, actually, this is going to be really helpful, because I think a lot of people, and I've seen this with my clients, there's often that idea of, oh, yeah, well, you know, I was fine doing stuff offline, but online, everything's weird, right? And everything's different. So what I'm really diving in is that, you know what, it's actually not that different. It's almost like, where do you draw the line? What is authentic?
Yeah.
What does it even mean, right? Be yourself, express yourself fully. Well, you know, if you want to be strict, like it doesn't mean unaltered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And we have all sorts of facets. I mean, we are all sorts of faces of us too, as well. I mean, it's really funny because it triggered all sorts of thoughts when I read the topic. You know, first there was also, you know, the difference between oral and written online. So first of all, that oral, that lots of people find it just very hard to talk to a screen instead of talking to a person, and written, that they fear the fact that then everything is written down. You know, people can quote them on it. You know, the big problem also now with, you know, words taken out of context in Twitters or whatsoever. I mean, we see that rock the world of politicians or whatsoever regularly. But it was also making me think just of this weekend when I was in Zeeland. And usually, of course, I choose the pictures that I post online, you know, in my Facebook posts or whatsoever. And there's some atrocious photos of me, you know, with zero makeup, got into 6.4 degree water. So it was really freezing. So, I mean, I really look my age and all that, but they're fun. And I was very proud that I did every day still go into that freezing cold water. So I did post them. And I was thinking, hey, you know, a few years ago, I wouldn't have been, what I was thinking to myself, as authentic. That is also me, not just all glamified and, you know, with makeup on and nice clothes and earrings and all of that, but also the, you know, raw, that's also authenticity, isn't it?
But I think at the same time, it's, you know, we always choose how much of us we present to others.
Yeah.
That hasn't got anything to do with offline. I remember Brené Brown said something once where it was about this whole context of vulnerability. And there was something where it says, like, people have to earn the right to hear our story, right? And at any moment from a day to day, in real life, when your neighbor asks you, so how are you? And you go, I'm just fine.
Yeah.
You choose how much, like, is that now authentic or isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? So it's this, I don't think there's anything wrong with depending on how much trust we have or how we feel in the moment even.
Yes.
Yeah, we choose,
yeah,
you know, how much we let other people see of what's going on inside. And I really think that has nothing to do with online or offline.
Right.
Because lipstick, you know, I mean, that's also the other thing, the unaltered thing, you know, it's like, oh my God, on the screen, everything's so fake. You know, you wouldn't think of a theater performance. You know, I've dressed dancers, right? So I've seen a lot of theater from the back door. And I would, I always remember when I would go backstage to, you know, if there's whatever, something on the dress, and I'd walk in the room and I'd go, I don't know anybody here,
yeah,
right? Because all these girls that I knew in their rehearsal and in their normal, yeah, all of a sudden had makeup on. They look, yeah, you know, like, yeah, from close up, it almost looked scary. You know, these huge black, yeah, eyes, like, yeah, you know, like totally. But that's the thing.
Yeah.
They just adapt to the medium because, yeah, they know there is the stage lights and the audience is further away. So, and you know, in theater, there's big gestures and they, yeah, run around like crazy. So, well, would you now say that's inauthentic? You,
yeah,
probably,
no,
wouldn't,
yeah,
right? So in, online, we just adapt to what the tools we have available. It's,
right,
actually the same thing.
And as you say, I mean, in real life too, you know, I mean, some days,
yeah,
we'll,
yeah,
be with no makeup on and a tracksuit, and other days, yeah, we feel good when we've got lipstick on and something nice on and we like,
absolutely,
to alternate. But they're all,
yeah,
they're all authentic. They're just all,
exactly,
themselves,
yeah,
depending on the mood or the day or the event.
The trust level we have with,
yes,
the other, with whoever we deal with. So I actually think, well, if you look at it through that lens, it makes perfect sense that we might be a little bit more guarded online where it's,
yeah,
where it's public for everybody to see. And on top of it, permanent, if, you know, I mean, if,
yeah,
anybody would dig through the wealth of information to dig out what you said 3 years ago. But so it would kind of make sense to be a little bit more guarded.
But then you don't make the connection, do you?
Hmm. Well,
sometimes I see some businesses online where, you know, it's all great and it's all beautiful and it's highly professional and beautiful pictures, but I don't get a feel for who the person is. You know, if I'm going to trust my business of whatever form to somebody, I do want to know who they are. I want to get a feel for them. And now everybody goes about it in a different way. I remember editing something for a lady who was redoing her website. And, you know, she'd been given different examples. And one of the examples was, you know, a very bubbly lady who literally had on site, you know, basically what she was having for breakfast every day, you know, walked with her dog and her favorite music and all that. Okay, that was her. And it really worked because it was in line with her personality. That is how she is, and that's how she works as well. So if you're looking for that sort of person, then she's the right one. Whereas this other lady is a lot more guarded, and you know, she likes the serious professional view. So it was the way of finding a way to keep that authenticity, but to still share a little bit of the person behind the brand, so that people, you know, could then connect. Do you agree with
I love that? I love that you say that, because there's actually a whole section in my book chapter on exactly that.
Right.
Because as people, you know, the internet's not that new anymore. Right? And I remember when the first websites were built, there was, again, it was still about trust, but the idea was you had to be perceived as a big professional company in order to be trusted and taken seriously. Right. Now, you know, people have smartened up and people are more comfortable, and we've, you know, everybody's been using it for 25 years, whether you want it or not. So people's BS meter are really, really fine-tuned these days. And that idea of making you sound big when you're not, well, that's a lie. That's not inauthentic. That's a lie.
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing. Like, if you kind of, you know, and you still sometimes see it on, especially on LinkedIn, when somebody hasn't updated their profile in a long time, it's like, we do this, and like, I know exactly it's you, and you work out of your mom's basement, right? So don't make this sound like this big international company with a big team when we all know it's just you, right?
Yeah. So you should be proud of being you.
Well,
right?
That's the thing. And people will these days expect exactly what you just said. People want to know who's behind all of that, right? And big and small is no longer the thing. It's like, can I relate to you? Do I want, because I think it's also, we have a lot of options now to, you know, hire people online. And you have the whole world open. So there's always a whole bunch of people who could help you with a specific thing. And you go and decide, who do I want you to solve that problem for me, or do I want you? You know, and you'll always feel the person, you choose the person that you relate to more, that you feel most comfortable with, that gives you the most sense, well, I like you, and I think you can help me do what I want to do.
Yeah, it's based on values, on trust, on credibility as well. Obviously, you want to know what you've done so far or whatsoever. But it's more, I always do believe, I think, isn't it Simon Sinek who says that in his Golden Circle, that people don't buy a product, they buy what you believe in. And that if that resonates with their values, etc., that's where they will be happy.
Sometimes it depends on who, and sometimes some people go, well, I don't care why you do what you do. I just want you to solve my problem. Right. Other people, you know, I mean, I've had people, especially I still have this website for these sewing patterns and stuff. And sometimes you get people and they write to you and go, oh, you know, that story, you know, it's like when you want people to connect to you, you need to give them something to connect to, right? So I always found sometimes people like, oh, we used to go to whatever, to Andalusia when I was a child.
Right.
So when I read you, it's like, oh, you know, it's the emotion it evokes in them, because they connect whatever they read there to their own life, you know. And somebody says, oh, I used to do, I don't know, like I used to teach English, and you know, like everybody.
Yeah. They make it so a funny how with their own lives.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so the only thing that won't work is if you don't give them anything. You don't have to. That's also the other thing where people often shy away from, oh my God, on the internet and everybody, you know. You can share, like, personal and private isn't the same thing. Like, you can share a lot of really deep personal stories without really giving anything private away. So there is that distinction too. So it's not that, oh my God, the evil internet. You know, it's a knife.
Yeah.
You know, you can kill somebody with it, or you can cut a loaf of bread for somebody, right?
But that's so true. And I mean, when we think that our audience is, of course, a 50 plus, because when I see what the younger, you know, sometimes I'm a bit like, for goodness sake, I'm pretty sure you're going to regret this later. You know, when you see, or just this sort of seem to be like an obsession with oneself, you know, with what one looks like and one's nails and one's hair and one's eyes and what one thinks about everything. And, you know, I think that the 50 plus in me is a little bit more like, well, you know, do I really want to know all of that? And isn't that very egocentric and maybe arrogant even? So I mean, it's for us, it's maybe we always feel that we're maybe, you know, not as far forward as them. So as I say, in some cases I think it's probably a good thing. But however, as you say, we have all learned to work with it. So I mean, you deal with people who have got mostly online businesses. So Do you have any tips for authenticity? Because I do want to get into the books as well, that you actually give some talk about the book. But if we're first on our authenticity online, I mean, obviously, yeah, that's something that you also, let's say, coach in your practice. But some tips, what would you say, you know, are the most important things to do to be authentic online?
Well, it's to remember that it's about trust, right? So trust is the most important thing. And yes, you have an extra hurdle to jump through online when you don't have that immediate in-person, you know, so you have to think of ways. Well, you might need to, if you have a business, you might need to show a little bit of your story. So for you to give somebody that sense of who you are, right? So it's, but at the end of the day, the only question, people don't care about your stuff, and, you know, and people don't care about other people's bloody makeup, whatever. It's like they care about, you know, can you do something for me?
Right.
Is what you do relevant to me? So that's always, it comes like, whatever that is that helpful? Say, if I talk about my sewing business in the tech business, well, you don't need to learn how to sew, but you know that I've got a creative streak, right? And if you're a creative, you'll relate to me much more than some strictly techie geek person who hasn't got a feel for it. So you could already know that I will get you. Right?
And then in return, those are probably the clients that you want to have.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, because I roll like that as well. You always think about, is this valuable? Actually, I saw some, you know, there's basically people who teach how to use Instagram, and they put it really interesting. Like, they say, okay, if you wonder what to post or what not to put out there, it's, if somebody didn't know me, would this be interesting to them?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, and at the bottom line, so the heart of the tip, it's all about trust.
Right.
Then tip number two, it's really not that different. Like, basically, golden rule, if you wouldn't do it in real life, don't do it online.
Okay.
Right? Classic case. There was someone like, you know, guys are weird, especially on Instagram. And so I had this guy commenting on a post, like saying, oh, you know, and I really enjoy your content. Okay, well, that's three words more than the usual weirdo, so I'll let me have a look. And it was actually a coach. And, you know, and I actually agreed with a lot of stuff that he said. So, and then he also sent a private message saying the same thing, nothing weird. You know, it's just like, look, I really enjoyed your, you know, I stumbled across your profile, I really enjoy your content. I'm like, well, actually, I quite like this stuff too. And then he goes, oh, you know, how long have you been doing this? And I'm like, well, you know, and looking at the photo, probably starting the software before you were born. But anyway, and then I asked him and he goes, oh, well, you know, I'm here now, right? And all I could hear was like, oh, baby coach, how cute. And then next thing he goes, would you be up for you know, a Zoom chat to get to know each other better and to take this conversation further? And I'm like, okay. And then he sends me the link. And he sends me the link to his calendar thing, and it was like a strategy, like sales call kind of thing.
Right.
And the first thing was like your name, email address. How much do you make?
Yeah.
That's none of your business.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I was like, okay, where you at? Option one, I have the money, and I look forward to working with you.
Right.
Option two, I could find the money to work with you. Option three, I don't give a rat's ass about my business. Like, you put it a little bit, you know, you've just got to be kidding me. Will I even want to book this? But then I thought, oh, let's play, right? So I booked it and I sent him a message. I said, well, look, didn't expect a strategy call, you know? And he goes, oh, don't worry about that. It's just to give us an agenda. And I'm like, you put your foot down there. I was going to go play. Then he canceled it. That's the thing. Like, would you do that in real life? You walk into a birthday party and there's somebody who goes, oh, you know, I love your shoes. Hey, well, how much do you make each month? Do you want to work with me? That's weird.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. You wouldn't do that in real life. So basically, I'm saying I don't do it online.
Right.
It's just as weird, right? It doesn't, you know, and it's often that people try and do things that
And that's
no
what
sense.
Gives the internet a bad name as well, because sometimes you see, I mean, I don't know, at some point LinkedIn, I had the feeling these guys were hunting for flesh, you know. I seem to be getting more and more guys who would have, there was really no link if I checked their profile. So, I mean, then I would say no. And then the other day, there was somebody, thankfully, from the corner of my eye, I recognized the name of a company, and it was actually somebody I'd met and liked very much. But otherwise, it's almost, my strategy now is no, unless they can really prove, you know, that there is a common factor, yeah, that, you know, something that we could do. But it's a shame.
Well,
it's a shame.
It is a shame. But I mean, I guess that whole topic, men on the internet, and I mean, obviously not all men, but like the amount is, yeah, just staggering, yeah, anyway. And tip number three is, hey, you cannot stop it. So don't be a dummy. Like, don't be that person who clicks on the stupid link to say, hey, you need to change your bank password. Click here in an email.
So what do you mean you cannot stop it? What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm saying my mom didn't want to know anything about the internet for many years.
Oh, basically.
Yeah. So she was basically, oh, it's all cat photos and porn. I want nothing to do with it. Like, so she didn't want a smartphone. She didn't want the internet in the house. You know, well, you cannot. It's like the Industrial Revolution. Like, you cannot.
And
that's the thing. It's like these days you can't do anything without your phone. You can't log in anywhere. You can't do a bank transfer. You can do nothing without your phone. So you cannot stop it.
Yeah.
Right. So basically your best strategy is to learn what you need to learn. Take it slowly. Don't kind of overwhelm yourself, but don't be that person who gets ripped off because you click on stupid links. Like, smarten up a bit. You have to learn. You have to. And you can.
And then you can put yourself out there. You know, if we're talking about us being authentic online, you can put yourself out there in a way which is not, you know, embarrassing, or where you wouldn't think, oh my gosh, I hope my mother doesn't see my profile. No, I mean, the profile should represent who you are. And if there are different aspects, like for all of us.
Well, that's the thing, right? You know, I use Facebook strictly for business, right? I mean, it's not that I haven't got any friends there, but I always look at, if somebody finds this 5 years down the line, will this be embarrassing? Yeah. I don't put anything there, at least not with visibility public. Because that's the thing.
Also,
you know, all these tools, you can choose them. Who can see this stuff?
Yeah.
You know?
It is not a strategy in a way. I mean, I use Facebook in chunks, as in if I'm doing something special, that's usually a travel or a family gathering or something like that, then I post. I never post every day. I only post if I'm somewhere. And I was thinking, you know, about those photos again that I was talking about. And I was thinking, well, yes, you know, if I'm thinking also my brand, let's say that the person that I am in everything that I do, whether the coaching, the editing, the podcast, obviously, it's all about, you know, embracing who we are and getting our message through in an authentic way. So, you know, being fabulous after 50, you know, we can be fabulous after 50, and we can put photos of us looking, you know, frozen and no makeup by a lake. And it, to me, that does represent who I am, and that I should indeed move away from all the nice pictures, though I don't have them too redone. I mean, that was also a discussion with my last website photos. I said, no, you know, a little bit, okay, you don't need to show me under my worst angle where I look like a prune, but I mean, I don't want you to take all my wrinkles away. That I've earned those. Yeah. I want them to be there. And I think that is hard, you know, to find the line. Obviously, we don't want to have photos where we don't feel good, but then you just don't put them on, that's all, you know.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, nobody forces you. You don't, like, that's something, being authentic online, offline, that's really my main point. It's not that different.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't mean you have to show everybody everything.
Do in real life, as you said.
Yeah.
Who we share what with, and some people
exactly
do need to share in order to get through it, and other people just like to
prefer
keep
not
it
to.
Private.
So the same is online. It's really not that different.
I'm looking forward to reading your chapter. Right, now tell me more about this book. You know, what exactly is it? How
it's
can you get it?
Yeah, it's basically a collection. There's 18 chapters, and then there's a few poems and shorter pieces of people. So there's people have contributed from all different angles, like how they see authenticity, right? So, and it's just with the objective to really help people, like, you know, and sometimes it's just that one little shift in perspective that helps you see something different. So now in this book, you get basically 18 different opportunities to.
And
get
is Aileen Wright as well, or does she have?
She has a chapter. Different? She has a chapter as well, but she collects them all and she does the editing, and the production gets done with another friend, and so it's pretty international. Like, Carolyn herself is based in Singapore. Okay. And a whole bunch of people in the UK, while I'm in Spain, and people are kind of all over the place. Really.
What a lovely idea. I think it's a great idea. And the other ones as well. What was it?
Anger and sadness.
Oh,
and
anger and
fear
us.
And,
sadness and, us
and, yeah, and there's another one. There's, I think, overwhelm's coming. So,
fantastic.
And so there's a whole series. And it's got even something to do with the whole chakras. So there's kind of a lot more sense behind the whole series.
And it's so fantastic, people who just decide to put, you know, to, I mean, all these books, we always recognize something, especially when there's lots of different people who are in it, you know, then it really broadens your horizon and it takes away from the taboo as well, you know, fear or anxiety. I mean, it usually takes us until more or less our age. I mean, that's something that I do like, is that I suppose now more than ever, I'm totally prepared to say what I'm frightened of or what makes me angry, or, you know, you'd start to learn how to control it more and more. But I think that then sharing or being able to read other people's stories is extremely powerful in this. And these are hard copies and online, or do you know how? Yeah. Well, I'm going to look into that. And thank you very much for sharing. And I'm a bit of a pit bull here. I do want to have you back to talk about tech matters, because I do feel also with this authenticity online topic we've just had, it really reminds me that, you know, a lot of us do. I don't even know if actually if it's an age thing, you know, a bit like the taboo, you know, the women or like, oh, finance. No, you know, gosh, I don't know anything about money. You know, even in restaurants, I still hear it. You know, when you're splitting the tab, you know, that somebody will sort of always want the guy at the table to do the maths, you know, as if we were sort of, you know, born with some genetic deformation that we couldn't do maths. And the same applies for tech. I mean, I'm the first one loud and clear that I'm not a tech person. And somebody said to me the other day, but I thought you did all the editing. I said, oh yeah, I suppose it just means something else to me. You know, it means, I don't, and that's something I think that we do need to talk about. Mindset thing. And there's nothing that we should know that by now, right?
Yeah.
If we set our mind to it, there's nothing that we can't do. Yeah. Thank you very much, Anca. Let's make sure that in the notes that we also put the link to the book as well. So thank you for being with us again. And I'm looking forward to 2020 to talk about taming the tech.
Oh, yes, side we shall tame us.
Indeed. And for the rest of you out there, thank you very much for listening. I hope you took note of some of these tips about authenticity online. First, the importance, like in real life, of building trust. You know, so share what you need to share so that people can trust who you are, but in an authentic way, however much is good for you. I thought the tip was great. If you wouldn't do it in real life, don't do it online. And I think that's something we seem to think that it's two different entities, but it's not. It's still us, and it's just giving an image of us. Hey, it's a different medium for the same thing. And indeed, that there's really no point putting your head under the bed and saying, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with any of that. We can't stop it. We are a technical age. And now with Corona, even more so. I mean, sometimes all we have is this. So you do need to put yourself out there. Better learn how to do it so that you don't make mistakes and that you present yourself in exactly the way that you want to do. So I am going to also add the information about these books, because they sound absolutely fantastic. So today it was about authenticity. And so authenticity, and these are books that I think we should all get. So if you haven't finished ordering your Santa Claus list, I shall put all the details below and make sure you get the information just in time. Thank you.
Thank you so
See
much.
See you again next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.